Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Nazir Nun Dalid, Nazir 54a, pagination is 107. We're starting from the beginning of the Mishnah, five lines up from the bottom. In the previous Mishnah, we described cases that would truly and definitively make a Nazir Tameh and would set him back, that he would have to do the entire process of Tumah, that he became Tameh during his Nazirus. His count would get set back, that he's going to start counting again. He would have to get the sprinkling of the Para Aduma on the third and seventh day of the process, and he would bring a karban. Our Mishnah is going to describe cases that are considered tumah on some level, but are not dealt with the full ramification of what we just described. And that is because either they are rabbinic in nature, so we kind of impose tumah, but we're not going to go all the way. And therefore, for example, he's going to get sprinkled on the third and seventh days to make him tahar again, but he's not going to be bringing a karban, and he's not going to be shaving as part of the tumah rectification. Or these might be cases which may be biblical, but there is a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai that tells us that the person becomes tameh, but it doesn't do the setback of the nazir that became tameh, as other cases of tumah might. So the Mishnah says, "Avala sechachos v'hapuraos," but overhanging branches or stones, and we'll pause here to explain the case. Normally, if you have a very thick cover over the tumah, over the dead body, like a regular roof in a house, then a person who's under the same roof as the dead body does become tameh, definitively, with all the ramifications. Over here, however, There's an overhanging branch or a protruding stone that roofs over the dead body. And if the Nazir would pass under that same branch, then he would become Tameh, or that same stone, he would become Tameh. But if he's not sure if he passed over that branch, he may have passed on, or under a different branch. And once we bring this questionable status into play, so mida oraisa, biblically the rule is safek tumah b'rishus harabim is tahar mida oraisa. From the Torah law, a doubtful case of tumah in the public area is considered tahar. But rabbinically, he's going to be tameh if he's not sure which branch he went under. And that's what we're referring to over here, a rabbinic form of tumah. Ubeis hapras. A beis hapras is an area that had a grave in it, and then it was plowed. And the assumption is that the plow must have shattered the grave and spread the bones throughout the field to a certain amount, whatever distance is described, as a beis hapras. This is not a Torah prohibition, it's a rabbinic prohibition. Ve'eretz ha'amim, and the lands that are outside of Eretz Yisrael, likewise have a rabbinic form of tumah associated with them. We'll discuss this in the next session. Skipping to the next line, Urevius dam, and a quarter of a log of dam. So we encountered a chatzi log dam, half a log of dam, in the previous Mishnah, and that was definitive Tuma. Over here, however, by Revius Dam, there's a discussion whether this is rabbinic or this is biblical with a special halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim rule that it doesn't cause a nazir setback. It just requires that the person be metaher, sprinkled by the water of the Parah Aduma ash on the 3rd and 7th. V'oel rova atzamos, and the roof form of Toma regarding a quarter kav of bones. These are examples of Ein HaNazir Migaleach. The Nazir is not going to shave himself as a result of this Tumah. Umaza Bashlishi Uvashevi'i, indeed, he is going to get sprinkled on the 3rd and 7th. Ve'Ein HaSoser HaSakodmin, it doesn't do setback and undo what he's already accumulated days to his credit. Ve'Korban Ein Lo, and he does not get assigned a korban. Now, interestingly, towards the end of this list, back to Amud Aleph, Bimei Sifro Uvimei Gomro, when a person is in the process of Tsaras, where it's not clear if he's a Metzora or not, and he has to do a special process by which he's considered Tamei and he's counting, and he would even have to shave his hair. But the Mishnah is telling us, but that Tumah of Tzaras in the midst of his Nazirus, and even the mandate that he shave his hair, because that overrides the laws of Nazir, but it's not going to undo the days of Nazir that he's accumulated, and it's not going to cause him a significant setback. Now, we mentioned, obviously, there is a level of setback because he can't complete his Nazirus unless he had a certain number of days of growth of his hair. So, either 30 days or 7 days, depending on the rule, but it's not going to do an intrinsic setback. So that, for example, if a person is looking to accumulate, to fulfill his vow, 100 days of Nazirus, and he's already done 60, so then his shaving and going through the process of Metzora is not going to undo the 60 that he's accumulated. Even if he has to go ahead and accumulate another 30, or if this happened at the end of the 100, even if he has to accumulate another 30, which is almost like additional to what he's already been required to do, but it's not going to do setback, it's not going to undo what he's already done. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us, in such a case of Metzora as well, Ein HaNazir Migaleach, the Nazir doesn't have to shave his hair, meaning for the Tumah of Tzaras, he's not going to have to shave his hair. Obviously, if Tzaras requires shaving, he's going to shave because of that. But because of Nazir and restoring himself to Nazirus, that's not going to require a shaving, and it's not going to require a karbon, and it won't do setback. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.